So I'm looking at a ballot language for the actual ballot here in Illinois. If you voted already, you've seen it. If you haven't, maybe you haven't seen it, but it's of the proposed amendment to the 1970 Illinois Constitution. You're going to see this. It says explanation of amendment. This is what it says. The proposed amendment grants the state authority to impose higher income tax rates on higher income levels. Okay, I get that. Which is how the federal government and a majority of other states do it. Seems like they're trying to convince me there, but okay. The amendment would remove the portion of the revenue article of the Illinois Constitution that is sometimes referred to as the flat tax that requires all taxes on income to be at the same rate. Totally lost. The amendment does not itself change tax rates. It gives the state the ability to impose higher tax rates on those who have higher income levels and lower income taxes rates on those with middle or income, lower income levels. You're asked to decide whether the proposed amendment should become a part of the Illinois Constitution. Then there's an addendum here. This is interesting, just to make it a little more complicated. Notice, asterisk, asterisk. The failure to vote this ballot may be the equivalent of a negative vote because a convention shall be called or the amendment shall become effective if approved by either three-fifths of those voting on the question or a majority of those voting in the election. This is not to be construed as a direction that your vote is required to be cast either in favor or in opposition to the proposed herein contained. I'm totally lost, Rick Pearson. I've read this three times too, by the way, and I'm not even. I mean, I'm lost. I have so many questions for you, and I know you actually understand these things. So I'm like, get Rick Pearson out here. Get him out here.
I hope I understand these things.
I mean, imagine being hit with that and not going into it and not really knowing. I mean, you just
right.
You can't. You got to know.
Well, and we've tried to do a lot of coverage at the Tribune on this too, to even just give people the basic explainers here of what's going on. But I mean, yeah, amid all that gobbledygook, you're looking at perhaps one of the most significant, potentially long-lasting changes in Illinois governance for quite some time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, okay, so it's called the Fair Tax, which is the pro people's, what they call it, I think it's called an amendment, which right now, as I understand it, legislature can actually raise our income taxes, but they have to do it across the board. So everybody, it's 4.95%, everybody would have to go up. But what they're trying to do is carve out so they can approach different income levels, and doesn't this sort of enable them to pick whatever income levels they want moving forward?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as the explanation says, most states and the federal government have what's called a graduated rate tax. Illinois, in its 1970 constitution, mandated that it was a flat rate tax, that the same tax rate applied regardless of income. This graduated rate tax would allow for different tax rates to be set at different incomes. And indeed, the legislature has already approved a law conditional upon ratification of this amendment that would impose those kinds of tax rates, and that it would be a lower tax rate on lower incomes and a higher tax rate on higher incomes.
Okay, so the idea is that, you know, the state's in trouble. We have the pandemic. We have a major loss in revenues, and they're relying on the federal government to try to help us out because it doesn't seem as if there is any way, even with this tax, that we're going to be anywhere near economically sound unless we get that kind of money. Is that a fair assumption? What do you think about that?
Well, this was approved even before the pandemic. And basically, Illinois has had a long history of structural deficits built into it. You know, you go from everything like the unfunded pension liability, issues about being able to keep up with inflation. One of the arguments in support of this is the fact that the current tax rate that we have, 4.95%, doesn't even keep up with inflation from 20 years ago, and that this would allow for a better distribution of taxes based on those who can pay more. But it won't solve the pandemic issue. Already the talk of generating money from this started out at like $3.6 billion over a year. That's been scaled back, so it's about $3 billion, maybe $3.2 billion. But it won't get us out of the pandemic mess because the state already had was counting on getting help from the federal government, and we can see that that's part of the ongoing debate in Washington between House Democrats who support state and local aid and Senate Republicans who say, hey, use the money we sent you first, and then we'll talk about that.
You mentioned in support of it that it doesn't keep up with, you know, what we, the 4.9%, doesn't keep up with inflation. One of the arguments I've heard against it is it also doesn't ask Springfield to get the financial house in order, and that moving forward, this is still an unsustainable budget, an unsustainable system, and that they'll inevitably need to go and dig into taxpayers' pockets again if there isn't some sort of, you know, cut or some new sort of way of looking forward at the way we handle our finances.
No, and I think, you know, here's a fundamental thing about this, and take it for what you will, but this really asks voters to trust government. And, you know, that's a pretty hard sell. That's a pretty hard sell to make, especially given the history of the fiscal problems that have existed in Illinois. But we have already seen the governor and allies warn that if this isn't adopted, that we'll have to raise that 4.95% tax to 5.95% across the board, across all incomes, as well as look at spending cuts, across the board spending cuts of as much as 15%. The bottom line with the way Illinois government and its finances are structured, there isn't a lot of give here. There isn't a lot of flexibility for where you can cut, where cuts can be made. And a 15% cut, you know, in education funding would be devastating. And, you know, part of the arguments, and we've all seen the wave of commercials on both sides of this. I mean, we're talking, you know, multi-million dollar ad spending that each side is doing. And each side tends to be kind of loose with some of the facts. The proponents say that, you know, this will lower your property taxes. Well, no, there's nothing in this amendment that has anything to do with property taxes. The opponents say, this will lead to taxing my retirement income. There's nothing in this amendment that has anything to do with retirement income. Right now, lawmakers, if they wanted, could lift the existing state law that prevents the taxation of retirement income. So you have a lot of aspirational and scare tactics working on both sides.
Hey, we're going to get to the phones here with Rick Pearson. You got questions about it or comments, concerns, 312-981-7200. We're talking about the amendment to the Constitution regarding taxes, and I've got some good texts here, and we want to go to the phones as well, so we'll get to that in just a second. All right, we're trying to understand the new amendment to the Illinois Constitution you'll be asked about on the ballot. It regards regarding taxes. They call it the fair tax. You're being bombarded with ads about it on both sides right now. Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, is here with us. We want to get to the phones in just a second, but Rick, explain to me one thing. I haven't been able to, a lot of things I really don't understand about this, but it's over $250,000 per household or per person?
That is $250,000. There are some deviations in rates for individuals as well as households, but basically it's $250,000 per household.
Oh.
It would be the ones, if you make $250,000 or more, you're the ones that will be affected by a higher tax rate. That's where they get to the language that for 97% of Illinois taxpayers, they make less than $250,000. They will pay at least what they're paying now,
okay,
and or less.
Does this always feel like a math lesson? I'm trying to figure it out. Hang on a second. We want to go to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're on WGN. You got a comment, concern. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm okay. It's Friday, so happy Friday.
I really miss your program on Sunday mornings.
I don't know that I ever had a program on Sunday morning. You mean when I'm back in the day when I was on NBC? Is that what you're talking about?
No, Rick's program.
Oh, Rick. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we all miss Rick. Yes, we do. I agree.
Okay. The politicians caused this problem in Illinois. So why isn't there an amendment to cut their salaries instead of raising our taxes and cutting their pensions? Because they don't deserve a pension, and they don't deserve the salary they're getting since they had all these, what is it, tax holidays for the pensions of all the pension funds in Illinois? I mean, they caused it. They should be cutting their salaries.
All right. Rick, you want to respond to that? I just heard there's been little tolerance in the past for any kinds of things that have to do with cutting their own salaries.
Yeah, and you know, that's frankly, you know, you've got the entire Illinois House of Representatives is up for election, and that's something to ask your candidates as far as the salaries. As far as pensions, pensions are really hard to touch in this state because of the Constitution. There's a guarantee that basically when a public employee, the first day they go to work, they're entitled to those benefits forever.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about politicians' pensions.
Yeah, well, and again, that's the same question to ask your candidates. Ask them, you know, why should you get paid? Why should you be getting a pension? Aren't you part of the problem? I think it's a fair question to ask candidates.
Yeah, it's a fair tax.
That's what elections are about.
It's a fair tax, and that is a fair question. Michael, let us know what you hear there, because I got to get another call in here, okay?
Hang on. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on WGN. Your thoughts on the matter.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
So I would vote no for the tax increase. The only way I would do I would vote yes is if they capped the real estate taxes in Illinois at 1% of the value of homes and businesses. That would be a game changer, and no one really talks about it. But if we limit and we cap the taxes on people's homes, it would be a huge, huge game changer.
Thank you, Steve. You know, that is something they do in California. I know their taxes are high too there, but they'd have capped their percentages at 1% there. And so I think it's not so much that we're right about the middle. I often hear 4.95% is right about the middle when it comes to tax rates for states. But when you have the combined taxes we pay for everything, we're up there pretty high on the list, aren't we, Rick?
Yeah, and this is part of the issue too. Is, as I said, you know, proponents are saying that, you know, this will lower your property taxes. There's nothing in the amendment that says that. But here's the deal. Illinois is so overly reliant on paying for its public schools through local property taxes, larger than perhaps any other state in the country. And that's the bulk of your property tax bill is your local schools. Supporters are arguing this will ensure that there's more money that goes to local schools from the state that in turn can keep your property taxes from necessarily increasing as much or perhaps even go down.
You know, let's get one more call in here. And, Joe, I'm going to ask you to be pretty quick here because I'm running out of time, but I do want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I my comment was, has anybody brought up the fact that when, you know, New York and New Jersey raised their taxes so high on high earners that they started leaving the state? We already have a lot of people leaving the state, and these wealthy people just went to Florida, set up shop there. They can work wherever they want. Second thing is, I liked what you said about trusting the government. You can't trust these people because they promised that they were going to take schools, pay for the schools with the lottery.
Money.
And then... lottery money, right. And then we got, what do we have after that? We had, gambling. We got the casinos. Every one of those places that has machines in it, they're paying somewhere in the tune of $10,000 a month to the state of Illinois. What happened to all that money?
Thank you, Joe.
Think of all those places. And then the last one is the marijuana. What happened to all that money?
Okay, honestly, Rick, we just have a few seconds here. We all know that they keep dipping into the well and that it seems to be a never-ending problem, but that costs don't get cut.
Well, and the taxes that were cited by the caller do not raise enough money to pay for education. Mm-hmm. And there was no way the lottery was ever going to make up for the funding for public schools. We're talking, you know, $3.5-4 billion a year just for public schools. So that was never going to happen. But again, it does come down to trust and how money gets spent in this state. And,
yes,
you know, certainly if there were a larger effort by proponents to show good faith in cutting property taxes or in cutting some areas of government, Governor Pritzker says that they've saved $750 million on state employee health insurance benefits in the new union contract. You know, they're trying to say they're trying to manage the state well. This is up to voters to decide.
Yes, it is. It is good to hear your voice, Rick Pearson.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
And you speak politics very well. You're able to translate this stuff. And that's I love that about you and so much else. And so thanks for the time this Friday. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. You have a great weekend.